Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Braj Mohan Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 12th Chapter, 13th verse on April 14th. So very nice. The verses sequence was very good. 6, 12, 13 and today's 14th date. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. I don't see Prabhuji on the call. I request Raj Prabhuji to please take over for the brief introduction. And I welcome Raj Prabhu back to the call. We missed you a lot, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanva pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gauranga. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Here is a brief introduction for our very dear Prabhu, His Grace Braj Mohan Prabhuji. Prabhuji is a monk, a life coach, and an inspirational speaker. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and a resident monk at ISKCON Chopati in India. He's a student mentor at the Indian Institute of Technology, Bombay, where he also earned a B.Tech degree. Prabhuji has a Master of Science degree in Quantum Physics from University of Illinois, Chicago. Braj Mohan Prabhuji has given seminars on science, spirituality, leadership, relationship, and self-development. He has been speaking on various topics at prestigious universities and at several corporations in the US and in India for over a decade. Using ancient wisdom for his current dilemmas, his message inspires the audience to think deep, act right, and live full. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dhanva pranam.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the brief introduction. Very nice to see you back. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 12. Entitled Vritrasura's Glorious Death. Text number 13. Ayushri Kirtiraishwaryam Ashisha Purushasya Yaha Bhavanti Evahi Tatkale Yatani Choviparyaya. Ayu, longevity. Shri, opulence. Kirti, fame. Aishwaryam, power. Ashisha, benedictions. Purushasya, all the living entities. Ya, which, bhavanti, arise. Eva, indeed. He, certainly. Tatkale, at that proper time. Yata, just as. Anicho, of one not desiring. Viparyaya, reverse conditions. Translation purport by His Divine Grace S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. Purport. It is not good to be falsely puffed up, saying that one by one's own effort, one has become opulent, learned, beautiful, and so on. All such good fortune is achieved through the mercy of the Lord. From another point of view, no one wants to die and no one wants to be poor or ugly. Therefore, why does the living entity against his will receive such unwanted troubles? It is due to the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one gains or loses everything material. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent on the mercy or chastisement of the Supreme Lord. There is a common saying in Bengal that the Lord has 10 hands. This means that he has control everywhere, in the 8 directions and up and down. If he wants to take everything away from us with his 10 hands, we cannot protect anything with our 2 hands. Similarly, he wants to bestow benedictions upon us with his 10 hands. We cannot factually receive them all with our 2 hands. In other words, the benedictions exceed our ambitions. The conclusion is that even though we do not wish to be separated from our possessions, sometimes the Lord forcibly takes them from us. And sometimes he showers such benedictions upon us that we are unable to receive them all. Therefore, either in opulence or in distress, we are not independent. Everything is dependent on the sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Udmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pushkaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ayushri Kirti Raishwaryam Ashisha Purushasaya Bhavanti Ehevai Tatkale Yata Nicho Viparyaya. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else. At the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all this when the Supreme Lord awards them by his mercy. Hare Krishna, it's my great pleasure and honor to be in the association of all the devotees that come every morning to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam class. And also chant together. So, this particular section of the Bhagavatam is an amazing discussion, something that we don't expect to happens in the pages of Bhagavatam. Therefore, Bhagavatam is quite disruptive in that sense. That our usual thought pattern that we may think how devotion can be or what the Lord does or what the devotees can do, cannot do. All that starts to break down when we start to approach Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam starts to go to the root and core essence of the issue. And when so therefore all the, you know, all the constructs that we have in our mind, okay, this is what is bhakti, this is what is life, it starts to break. And Bhagavatam therefore disrupts our thought pattern, which is usually conditioned by material influences. Bhagavatam disrupts that. We see things that usually happen in the material realm, or the reverse starts to happen. Like say, usually the father is supposed to be better than the son. But in the pages of Bhagavatam, we see that the son is better than the father. Prahlad Maharaj, a son, is instructing his father. And we see that the wives are better devotees than the husbands. Usually, the Vedic path, wife is considered that dharmacharini, that she follows the husband in the path of dharma. But we see that in the Bhagavatam, that it is the wives who are more devoted, more spiritual, and the husbands follow the wife's prayers. We see in the story of Kaliya that the prayers were offered by the Nagapatnis, and Kaliya just hears them and he just repeats the prayers of his wives. And then in the Yajnapatnis, they were not able to overcome, the Brahmanas were not able to overcome the fear of Kamsa, so they couldn't go. But the wives, they overcame all types of fear. Kamsa was a fear that may happen, may not happen. But the fear of rejection from the society or from the family, especially they were very consciously denied, was there, but they overcame that fear. And then they went. And so we see quite a contrast to the material realm that happens in the pages of Bhagavatam. And that's what makes the stories so exciting. At the same time, they take us to such pure message of Krishna consciousness. And once we understand and access that pure message of the Bhagavatam, everything else starts to seem very paltry, very superficial in comparison to that. And herein we see that a so-called demon is instructing a devotee to not give up his devotion. Very contrasting. In fact, it is so contrasting that Bhagavatam is defined by this particular story, that where Vritrasura story is being mentioned. It's not that in other Puranas the story is not there, but in other Puranas, the one who is glorified is the one who is victorious, one who kills the demon. It is Indra that is glorified. But in the Bhagavatam, it is Vritrasur that is glorified. Obviously, for his depth of devotion that he is having. And I'm sure the story how Vritrasura was born and why he was so angry on Indra and the whole Yajna with Tvasta, all that might have been covered. So, but it's just prelude to this. Is that this particular chapter of Bhagavatam follows this chapter has four sections to it. That first is the 1 to 6 is where Vritrasura and Indra are fighting vigorously. That each one is now full with their full vigor, they are fighting. And initially, the Indra is seems to be coming to be victorious because Indra is having this great weapon called as the thunderbolt weapon, and Vritrasura is having his trident. And with this, with the trident, Vritrasura attacks, and Indra counters back, and Indra cuts the arm of Vritrasura. And once Indra cuts the arm of Vritrasura, the Vritrasura becomes so angry that he attacks Indra with so much vigor that although the thunderbolt is very powerful, with the rage with which Vritrasura was fighting, Indra loses his faith, loses his thunderbolt, he drops his thunderbolt. And he is so fearful, so traumatized that even this thunderbolt, will it work or not, that he is not picking it up. He is just overcome by the enormous size and the intensity with which Vritrasura was fighting. So that's 1-6. And then 7-17, in which we are currently there, Vritrasura doesn't attack Indra without his weapon being there. He follows the Kshatriya code of conduct. He doesn't attack. And he is kind of giving a short, what I would say, motivational speech. We always say it is, Gita was the most motivational speech. We can also say it, the first motivational speech was by Vritrasura. And that motivation was needed because with Indra totally lost his faith in the weapon that he was carrying. And that weapon was none other than Vajra, made out of the bones of the Dechi and blessed by Lord Vishnu. To specifically kill Vritrasura. So Vritrasura enlightens the discourage Indra at 7-17. And when Indra hears Vritrasura's consciousness, he is appalled. His appreciation for Vritrasura's devotion increases. Till now he was only thinking he is a demon. But when a devotee hears other devotee, what is the consciousness in which they are doing their service. That's one of the reasons why, you know, Prabhupada also wanted all his disciples to speak. And many times when devotees are together, we don't hear each other. We are serving so much with each other that we don't hear each other, and we tend to just judge them by their, you know, acts or their mistakes. But this format that Prabhupada established, that each devotee, after some years in Krishna consciousness, that they, you know, also share their heart, share their understanding, their wisdom. So that in the ashram, so many times I've seen that, you know, till I hear some particular devotee's class, my appreciation or understanding of that person, devotee, is mainly based on his general behavior. And everyone has their nuances, has their, you know, idiosyncrasies. And we tend to many times, you know, misunderstand those things, being very selfish, being insensitive. But the moment we start to see their devotion coming out in the classes, then our appreciation increases. So it happened many times with me that when I sit for the class, some devotee is speaking, and I usually go and tell Prabhu my appreciation for the topic that you have taken and for the depth with which you have shared the wisdom. Has brought me closer to you. And that's what Krishna also says in the Gita. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantasya paraspara katayantasya mam nityam tushyanti cha ravanti cha. Devotees are supposed to inspire each other in their service by sharing their mood and also the pastimes of Krishna. Long back, when devotee was sharing that His Holiness Achyutananda Swami Maharaj was here, and Brahmachari is here. He went to it was after a late night program around 11:30, and Maharaj, as he was passing him goodbye, good night, Maharaj said, "No, the day is not over. We have to share Krishna with each other. So you speak one story of Krishna and I'll speak one story of Krishna." And this devotee was such a junior compared to Maharaj, that he was he felt very shy to share a story of Krishna. But if it was Maharaj's desire, he did share, and he was sharing that, When we see that how devotees are attached to hearing Krishna, or attached to being in Krishna consciousness, then our appreciation increases. So that's what happens to Indra, that Indra's appreciation for Vidrasura is unbound. It goes over the top. And why? Because Vitrasura is not seeing this as a revenge, he is seeing this as a duty, as our duty to the Supreme Lord, that you being a devata, you are supposed to do your duty of dharma, and how ultimately everything is under the control of the Lord as the time factor. That don't think that it is you that is the cause of victory or defeat. And in this particular verse, amazing analogy that Vitrasura gives of death, that no matter you want or not, at the time of death, everything is going to be taken away. Three things specifically: longevity, opulence, and fame. That long life, the life ends there. And opulence, all the wealth that you have accrued, wealth that you have procured, all that you have to leave. And then the fame that we earn is also gone at the time of death. I usually share this nice story about a sadhu visiting a king who was not so dharmic. So this saint wanted to make an impression of each other. The saint wanted to make an impression on this king. So he went and said, "Oh king, I can read future. So if you are interested, I can tell you what is lying ahead in your life." And who doesn't want to know what's coming ahead? Usually if somebody starts to see the hand, then at least 5-6 hands also start to come. Mera bhi dekh lo, mera bhi dekh lo. So this king was interested, and the sage said, "Oh king, you have a very good news that you're going to go to heaven when you die. But the bad news is that there is you're going to die very soon. Within few years, you're going to die." And the king was very troubled by hearing that, "Oh, I'm going to die very soon." And then he said, "But the good news is that you're going to go to heavens. But there is a bad news in the Swargaloka. And the bad news in Swargaloka is that there is too much crowd in the Swarga. Too many people are doing pious activities. And so it's filled up. But the good news is that they're going to give you a separate residence, a suite, a peaceful place there." And the king was again peaceful. And then the king was told, but there is a bad news that in that particular area of the Swargaloka, there are a lot of mosquitoes. And but the good news is that there is a mosquito net there, which will be given to you. But the bad news is that the mosquito net has a hole. But the good news is that there is a thread in the Swargaloka. But the bad news is that there is no needle in the Swargaloka. So therefore, I suggest you that when you die, you please take one needle along with you so that you can peacefully sleep in the heavenly planet. And the king started to think, and he said, "Oh, sage, I can't take a needle when I die. That is there a way by which you can? What I heard is that you can't take anything when you die. So even all the jewelry that I am wearing, even that I have to leave around. Even if I put it in my hand, even if I put it into my body or anywhere, it's all going to be here. How can I carry a needle?" And then the sage gave the purport to this prediction, saying that that's what I'm wanting to tell you, O king, that you can't even take a needle from this world, and you're so attached, so engrossed in just accruing and procuring so many things, trying to build your empire, and not focusing at all on Krishna consciousness, on connecting yourself to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the time is limited. Please spend more time devoted to Krishna. So no matter how much we have, what we have, everything is going to be taken away at the time of death. And this is a reality that everywhere it is spoken, but not consciously followed. But the next line is something that was very interesting for me, the way Vitrasura puts it. So just like death takes away everything, time factor takes away everything, same way by the time factor everything comes to you. Victory, fame, longevity, everything else by the time factor, everything is going to come to us. So therefore, don't be so engrossed in thinking that you are the one who is doing everything and feeling so responsible, so obsessive about what you have and what you can do. And Prabhupada brilliantly gives this example, this story, this analogy. I always thought it is Prabhupada's father who used to share this. Maybe it is the same, but Prabhupada didn't mention that here, about this Bengali saying. It's good if we can find that Bengali saying, but I couldn't find on the internet with my limited search that I did. That is that Krishna has 10 hands, and Prabhupada mentions here that there are 8 directions in the Vedic understanding. There is not just 4 directions, there is actually 8 directions, and the 8 directions are, of course, north, east, west, south, but also northeast, northwest, southeast, and southwest. So these are considered as the 8 directions. And supporting this entire universe, in each direction there is a elephant that is standing below. And like Ishanya is northeast, so like that. So so the time factor takes away everything and also gives everything. So therefore, don't be so obsessed that it is me who is doing everything. And Krishna with his 10 hands, the 8 directions are covered: northeast, northwest, northeast, south, and up and down, top and bottom. So Krishna, with his 10 hands, from different directions, he awards us, he gives us his things. And how much can we hold? And with his 2 hands, when he wants to take something by the time factor, no matter how dear that object is, either through disease or death or life's difficulties, the things go away. So how much can we, you know, hold on to something that Krishna wants to take? Or there is another saying, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. That if Krishna wants to kill, who can protect that person? Like the story of Jarasandha. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, if Krishna wants to protect someone, who can kill? Like the Pandavas, Arjuna. So many weapons, so many attempts to kill them. But Pandavas, from childhood till the Kurukshetra war, and even after that, Yudhishthira, Bhima was attempted to be killed by Dhritarashtra, none other than Dhritarashtra, by pulverizing it. But Krishna knew, knowing that, he protected Bhima by making an iron statue and giving that in front of Dhritarashtra. So much anger. So Krishna protected the Pandavas. Krishna protects. So if something is not in someone's destiny, it doesn't come. There is this story that I heard from Gauranga Prabhu, that once a person, he was thinking that this story, that everything, you know, is ultimately dependent on Krishna, everything comes from Krishna, we don't have we don't really choose. So he was thinking that, coming something is, I agree that, okay, eating the food comes from earth, and earth, it rains come. But what about fasting? That denying something is always in my hand. I can always say I won't eat. And who can force me if I don't want to eat? Even God cannot force me. So he wanted to test this out, and he went to outskirts of the village, and he sat on the top of a tree to fast, to test if I can be forced to eat against my desire. Because no one will come there and, you know, force it. And somehow there was some robbers in that area. They robbed something and they came there. Before, there were some pilgrims that were passing by that area. And the pilgrims came there during lunchtime. And they opened up very tasty items. Usually, you know, devotees, when we travel, people are all surprised by the number of items that devotees bring and eat during their travels. Of course, Gujaratis are always better than devotees also in terms of how much they carry for the travel prasad. So they opened up, and this man, he was thinking, ye kya hai, ekko idhar hi khane ka tha, that do they have to eat here only in front of me? Because he was also fasting and naturally he was feeling hungry. But he wanted to resolve, if I don't want to eat, no one can make me eat. And he saw that as a test. Oh, God is testing me by, you know, having this nice samosa and jalebi and all this in front of me. But he resisted. No, I don't want to eat. And as the pilgrims were down on the below the tree, they were eating. There was a sound of horses. And they all got to know that these are the highway robbers that are coming to attack us. So they all ran in the middle of their meal into the forest to hide. And so these highway robbers came there, and they saw and at the trunk of the tree that all these nice items were kept. And they were also hungry. So they immediately went to eat those foodstuffs, those delicacies. But one of the robbers, he said, "Hey, wait, how come such nice foodstuff is laid here? This must be a trap. Somebody wants to kill us and loot all our wealth, whatever we have robbed. So they have poisoned this food and they have kept it downstairs. And that guy must be somewhere around seeing us, trying to see if once we die, he can come and take money away." So they started to look around different trees. And one guy looked at the top and they saw this man was sitting on the top. And there they got their idea that this man is only trapping us got confirmed. And they asked that guy, "Why are you sitting on the top of the tree? Come down." And he said, "No, I won't come down." And forcibly was brought down. And then he was told, "Eat this." Said, "I won't eat." And when such nice things were played in front of the laid out, and he's denying, the thieves' opinion that he is isme zahar mila hua hai, that there is poison in it, but even more reinforced. Then they forced him even more. "This guy is not eating means there is poison in this." And he was saying, "No, there is no poison in this. I just saw some pilgrims had come here. They were eating and you came and they ran away. In fact, I can tell you where all they ran away." He said, "Nothing doing. We want to eat this food stuff and we want to test whether there is poison in it." And they didn't believe his theory. And they made him at gunpoint to eat that nice food stuff. And that way his fast was broken. And then he came to this conclusion that, yes, if you want to eat, it comes by the grace of the Lord. If you want to fast, it comes by the grace of the Lord. Of course, sometimes we are also tested on the day of Ekadashi, on fasting day, where Mahaprasad becomes more easily available than other days. And we may tend to think, "Oh, it is Lord that is arranging me Mahaprasad, so therefore let me go." But sometimes on day of Ekadashi only, you feel more hunger. But everything is coming from the Supreme Lord. Everything is ultimately offered to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in Maranam, anyway, everything is taken by the Lord. But in Sharanam, we voluntarily offer to the Lord. So the choice is ours. Either by Maranam, we offer everything to the Lord, or by Sharanam, by surrendering, we offer everything to the Lord. But if we do voluntarily, there are much more benefits than involuntary. Like in the prison, in the court, if the prisoner accepts his crime without much interrogation, much delay, then his punishment is reduced. In fact, that's why Krishna also, when he was caught breaking the butter pot, he immediately accepted his mistake. And said, yes, mother, don't beat me. I only broke the pot. Because he thought if he doesn't accept the mistake, then he will be punished more. So when we voluntarily accept Krishna's controlship, Krishna's that everything is ultimately dependent on the Lord. But this is in the context of understanding this point. This doesn't mean that we stop doing our activities. Herein, the whole purpose why this theory is being spoken, truth is being spoken, so that Vritrasura is not attached to winning the war and he does his duty properly of fighting. So therefore he encourages Vritrasura by giving the understanding that how everything is dependent on the Lord. Therefore we don't depend on what is victory, what is defeat, and all that. And after this, Indra praises Vritrasura's consciousness. Those beautiful prayers are also there. And then, even after praising Vritrasura, now it is a test. Now it is confirmed that this person is a devotee. But although he is a devotee, currently he is supporting Adharma. Therefore, he needs to kill Indrasura. And Indrasura, with the confidence that he is given, he kills Indrasura with the thunderbolt weapon. And as Indrasura is dying, he offers one of the best prayers in the Bhagavatam. That Naparam Ishtam, and this verse about how Krishna, how much love Krishna offers to his devotees, how we are the servant of the, we should be in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. Beautiful prayers. I'm sure you will discuss that in the following verses. And Prabhupada mentions this, that sometimes devotees lose their faith in Krishna consciousness, their faith in the chanting, their faith in the Bhagavatam, in the devotional service, and especially the time of calamity or when things don't go their way. And we tend to feel discouraged. And this is one of the greatest weapons of Maya, the weapon of discouragement. That itna saal ho gaya, so many years have passed, nothing is happening, no progress, or your desires are not going down. So why try to follow? Just keep doing, because now you are doing it, just do it as a ritual. So either the intensity goes down, or you know, the quality or the quantity starts to come down. But we should not feel discouraged by how much more there is to be done, how things are not seem to be working. Because it's a work in progress, one of the understanding that is given is that sometimes Krishna withholds our progress so that we can make more progress. There is a tendency that if we are given our progress as we are chanting, as we are serving, immediately there is a tendency that we may become proud, we may start to enjoy that and not really be as desperate. And many times this happens that one of the obstructions in bhakti may come from the results of bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti in Madhurya Kadambini speaks this, that there are different anarthas that are generated from aparadhas, and there are some anarthas that are generated from bhakti only. In terms of you become recognized as a nice devotee, people start to give respect to you, or you're given more privileges. So those aspects shouldn't remove our intensity or feel that, because many times all the social social pleasures that we get in the association may tend to make us satisfied, and the spiritual search may tend to stop. And we, especially preachers or those who are doing services or those in association, there is that danger of be feeling satiated with what we are currently there, and that desperation for Krishna starts to go down. And it is that desperation for Krishna which is the only way by which we can make progress. Lalyam ekalam hi moolam. And whoever is that, so therefore there is a believer and there is a seeker. A seeker is always wanting to, is desperate to grow, to know more, to do it better. Yashoda is never satisfied with her service. She is always wanting to improve. All the devotees, there is never end, because Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, our hankering, our desire to please Krishna also is unlimited. Even Mahaprabhu used to feel that I am not a devotee, that there is so much more devotion that is there, and I'm not feeling any taste in the chanting of the holy names. So that mood is very important, that we never feel filled and okay, this is enough, because I'm getting, now I'm having this post in the temple, in the society, or I'm getting a nice prasad, this or that. All this should help us to become more and more eager for Krishna, to get to that last point. If only doing this much, we're getting so much, what to speak of when you actually get to Krishna, how much more is awaited. So we learn this from Vidrasura, and also from Indra, how there is a tendency that we may lose our faith in the feedback, like Dhritarashtra had the weapon, thunderbolt, and we have our weapon of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if we may feel at times discouraged because of the health, because of so many things. And therefore, regularly hearing of Bhagavatam and associating with sincere devotees who are inspired or enthusiastic. And when we associate, there will always be corners where there will be a nagging corner, there will be a grudging corner, there will be just activity corner, and there will be a place where and there will be just no meditative or just do bhajan. But we have to know, I have balance of both. No? We are absorbed in bhajan, but also we are eager to help the mission go forward. Okay, I'll end here and see if any devotees have any comments, discussion or questions. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for giving me this time to share some reflections on this beautiful episode.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Tanva Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Certainly, it's all about mercy of Krishna. We are completely dependent on him. And if we understand only this one line, Prabhuji, I think we'll all will be so happy and so much in bliss. Just one line. And Prabhuji, I love the story of a king who needed a needle, Prabhuji. I wish somebody can come and say me, Raj, you need a needle up there so I can be chanting regularly, Prabhu. I agree, Prabhuji, with your what you said. We do get proud, Prabhuji, when sometime we do even more bhakti. We do get proud and we forget Trinadapi Suni Chena. So that is a very big issue, Prabhu, certainly. And from that everything starts. Every problem starts, actually. And then love, Prabhuji, weapon of chanting, Prabhu. That is our weapon. And that is the hotline to connect Krishna to, Prabhu. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Such a beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, we already have our very regular devotee, Anuradha Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you were mentioning that doing devotion also brings us anarthas, mentioned in Madhurya Kadambini. So, Prabhu, that's a problem. And what's the remedy you mentioned, Prabhu?
Remedy is to be aware and to avoid that there is this. We are all very very much at the material level, and that social satisfaction that many times we experience because of fame, because of our video getting a lot of likes, or we becoming popular, or we being praised. So those things shouldn't go into our head. Therefore, it said, now fame should not go into the head, and defaming should not, or insult should not go into the heart. That we understand that everything is a gift for us, that we are allowed to do this service, and it is ultimately the intelligence, whatever we capacities, everything coming from Krishna. And his representatives, parents, society, as Prabhupada used to say, that don't be proud of borrowed plumes. Plumes is a kind of feather that in UK they used to take these plumes and they used to keep on their hats. And so that's that saying came that don't be proud of borrowed plumes. That all the accolades, everything that is actually borrowed. It is not ours. If Krishna removes the capacity, then we cannot even lift our hand. So therefore we understand this reality, and we do read from the stories, we do see around that how somebody who was so powerful at this time, they all their power, their intelligence, sometimes even spiritual scriptural knowledge is not there. So therefore, understanding this reality grounds us. So therefore, being aware that yes, these even now becoming, there is a tendency to become being proud of our devotional service. We should try to avoid that.
Thank you, Prabhu. So can we think like, you know, when we do many services, so it brings us many things, which as you were saying about anarthas, so it brings us anartha. So our sadhana helps us to be grounded through reading scripture and doing chanting. Can we think about that, Prabhu?
Yes, Madhuri. We don't identify with our the results in the service that we get. The service is our privilege that we have been given. Therefore, we don't even also, so there is sometimes this tendency, I don't want to give class because then I'll become popular or people will praise me. So, in the name of being safe, not to do service also is not right. In the same, and also that you do service and you expect or you accept the praise that comes, you pass on. If some praise comes, you pass on to the mercy of Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. And if some feedback comes, you accept that, okay, I can improve to serve better the next time that I'll do this. So this way we, and as you said, our chanting is our, as you say, balancing factor. For every devotee, when they chant, if chanting was not there in our movement, I don't know what would have happened to our ego levels. This chanting is one thing that just totally smashes our ego of being a devotee, being attracted to Krishna, because we're not even attracted to the name of Krishna. As we're chanting, mind is going everywhere. And everyone is humbled internally. If they are, they see what is the quality of chanting that they are doing day in and day out. So chanting is one thing that is a humbling, is a balancing, is a grounding factor. But we do no focus there that we are all known as Hare Krishnas. So our identity is that we chant Hare Krishna, and we should take joy in that, and not any other things that may happen, may not happen. Everything else is a gift. We don't own those gifts.
Thank you, Prabhu. And thank you, Raj Prabhu, for being a wonderful host, Prabhu. Thank you, Hare Krishna Dandavatam.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for asking such a beautiful question, because that helps everyone in the group. And thank you, Prabhu. What a beautiful answer, Prabhu. So amazing. Certainly, Prabhu, our chanting tells us, we know Naam Namakari Bahudhaniji Sarvashakti. Krishna is his name, and we stand so many names, but nothing happens to us, Prabhu. Those six, Kama, Lobha, Mad, Moha, Matsara, they're all still inside us, Prabhu. Such a beautiful thing, Prabhu. There must be a day when we say Krishna, Radha, Rani, and we fell unconscious, Prabhu. Because that is now, it's his name is everything, Prabhu. So bless us, Prabhu, all of us, so we can be serious chanters, Prabhu.
Let us all pray for each other.
Okay, Prabhuji, as you wish.
Devamrit Maharaj says this nice thing. The devotees work hard in so many departments of bhakti except hearing and chanting or reading and chanting. So this is also where we need to focus, and this is the place where we know we should identify our progress. Everything else is it's an opportunity that if it comes, we do it. If it doesn't come, we are available for the service.
So true, Prabhu. Also in your class, when you narrated the story of Maharaj, when he said, no, sit, we still have to talk about Krishna. That was so beautiful, Prabhu. That was so beautiful. His naam, guna, leela, roop. This is what we need to chant about, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhuji, if you have time, we have still our very, very dear devotee. His Grace Sugakara Krishna, Prabhuji.
Sure, Prabhu, Sachin.
Go ahead,
Prabhuji. Share
something. Hare Krishna, thank you, and Ms. Raj Prabhu, for allowing me to ask a question. And Brajamohan Prabhu, the stories were so wonderful, you touched the heart. And that will be very useful to tell others, because whatever we are hearing, we have to give the jeev there. Thank you very much. Prabhu, I just want to know one thing. In the third canto, when Kapil Dev is preaching Devahuti Mata, that some devotee children they are able to remember 100 lives. I mean, Krishna is showing in the video and they can see the 100 lives spent. But what happened when they're born, because they're coming in the small space that the whole thing is, they just forget. And when they come out, they've been, laddu, kuttu, puttu, puttu. They just forget, they come into the game, samsara, sagare, magnam. So, the revival is possible only through devotee association, it's happening. But now I'm asking is, you told about chanting. Srila Prabhupada told that one is attentive chanting. Whatever you chant, you have to listen carefully. Second one is awareness. We should know why I am chanting. I'm doing a request to Shrimati Radharani to give me seva. But the third one, Prabhupada says, absorb chanting. That has never come. I got initiated in 1993. I'm not an absorb chanting. But I'm trying to listen. But that absorption, apne ko bhool jana hai, just you don't know where you are. You don't know what's WhatsApp. We are not forgetting that. WhatsApp is Facebook. Everything is there around. And the mind is going round and round. So, oh, nama bhasme, I don't know nama pran. That Shuddha Namdo, I don't know, it's so difficult. I'm 64 year old, but I want Antakale Chamayu to pass the final exam.
Yes, Prabhu. I'm sure there's a lot of humility also in what you're sharing. That it's devotees simultaneously should feel hopeless and also should feel hopeful. Hopeless about their situation and hopeful about the unlimited grace and reach of Krishna and Prabhupada that is there. Because without that, we'll never be able to cross the ocean of anarthas, ocean of disqualifications that we all carry. And Prabhupada says that sometimes one life is not sufficient for us to fully purify and come to start to taste chanting. It may sometimes take lifetimes.
Sorry, Prabhu. I'm interrupting you, Prabhu. I don't want one more life. I'm really saying every day that I don't want to come back. But any cause, kaise bhi, kuch bhi karke jana hai. I want to keep 10-15 devotees around me. So when I'm dying, Radha will say, Hare Krishna, Hare. I will listen to that. That's why I come always with Bhakti Sangha. That somehow somebody will chant on my ears.
Yes, Prabhu. That is definitely our aspiration. But we don't force Krishna. When we go there, we want to serve Krishna. We don't want to be in that, lost space where definitely the grace of Krishna can, purify unlimited amount of, like it is said, one name of Krishna can purify more sinful activities than we can ever commit in our lifetimes. That is the power that the holy name carries, that Krishna carries. But we, we being Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we understand the mood of Vrajavasis, which is in the Shishtashtakam. That Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadi Shakamaya. Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavata Bhakti Rahe Tukitvare. Oh my Lord, whether you keep me here or there, my aspiration is that I want to serve you there. But there is a lot of, mukti kami, freedom from suffering element in our practice of bhakti, which is not conducive for serving Krishna. Mukti kami, siddhi kami, sakali ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. So most of our bhakti is actually aimed for freedom from suffering, freedom from birth and death, which is actually mukti kami. And because of that mukti kamna, we are disturbed. We are not focusing on serving Krishna. So, in some ways, it becomes like, we want to use the holy name to avoid trouble. But the whole goal is that we want to serve the holy name. We want to serve Krishna. And if Krishna chooses us, with the Pandavas, Pandavas were flexible and available for Krishna to be used in any way, whatever way that he wants us. And that's what is Vraja also, where the residents of Vrindavan move with the desire of Krishna. Because there was Vrajanti iti Vraja, where everything moves by the will of Krishna, by the desire of Krishna. So if we start to imbibe that mood, then the place, no, because it carries that mood, we'll get there. But no, being truly honest, that I as Sir Prabhupada sometimes he said that it will take minimum 3 lifetimes for us to go back to Godhead. You can search in Vedabase, this is there. But yes, there are. So, but whatever it is, Krishna says, Arjuna, for one who has done good, he'll never be overcome by evil. And he says, oh my dear son, Tadam. In the 6th chapter, Krishna speaks this. So, we are on the progress. What we need to be sure is that we don't, throw the ticket. We don't throw the thunderbolt. We don't get distracted. And how quickly we'll reach is not our demand. We don't demand Krishna. We're Krishna's servants. What we try to do is we are available to serve. Like sometimes, I want to serve my guru. I want to serve him food. No, if you are not called to serve, then you can express that I am available to serve. I've trained myself to serve and I'm here to serve. So therefore, sir, the mood of service is that we are available for Krishna to be. So make ourselves ready. Keep sincere. And Prabhupada did promise us that if someone chants 16 rounds, 400 principles, then they'll go back to Godhead. But what we'll do in go back to Godhead? Same thing that we are doing now, chanting, hearing. So where Krishna places, even Vrajavasis, he brings them to the material world. So there are 2-3 theories that, sometimes it is said, the devotees will be born in Goma Vrindavan. There they will get trained and then they will go to the spiritual realm. So we are not much focusing on where we'll go now, where we'll go. What we focus is that let me follow the process sincerely and depend. So being hopeless and also hopeful.
Prabhuji, thank you much. Mujhe lag raha aapko sunke ukravo na mujhe ab, ukravo na mujhe ab, hame golok jana. Between like bola, and you see the devotee last one bola, apne third birthday bolta hai. Oh, this sukh aur dukh dono saath mein aa raha hai, but main kanta lag raha hai. I don't want to. I should not dictate to Krishna. But Vrindavan mein again, Kali Yuga is going so bad, and mobile, these, that, iPhone, and all, they're bringing so much trouble to me. I'm really
fully agreed. Yeah, we should have that, that expression. You might be knowing in Chopati,
Anand Vrindavan. But Mukti ka mein bol rana, so I'm very sad.
that's what scriptures say, be aware that. Why you want to go back to Krishna? Do you want to serve there? Like when we apply for visa interview, that if we say
I want to go there because I'm secure. I'll be there because I'm not getting into Maya again. मुझे कोई पकड़ेगा नहीं. I'll be there. उसे चांदी करेगा. 24 घंटा चांदी करेगा. But इधर आएगा तो बहुत डर लग रहा है. किधर फंस रहा है बाबू. कितने अभी मैं रो के चांद कर रहा हूँ. रो के I'm just crying and chanting. क्या करूँ बाबू.
You are truly personifying the desperation that a devotee should have.
No, man, don't cut up. I'm just joking. I'm not. What do you think? I'm not. But mujhe aashirwad dijiye because you're all pure devotees. You are from big. So please, age mein bada ho, lekin I'm sabse gira ho. Please bless all of us. In Bhakti Sangha, they're all my mothers. So I am the lowest. So I want your blessing, prayers. So that I should not come back.
That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah. we all help each other remember Krishna in this life and as we are passing away from this life. It's such a blessing to be in Krishna consciousness. What we have already, if we start to appreciate, I'm sure most of our anarthas will not grow. We don't appreciate already what we have got. So let us appreciate, being in this such beautiful Sangha and helping, giving in this life so much, such joy, such wisdom, such beautiful darshans, kirtans, classes, prasadam, devotees. Right? We don't even deserve what we have now.
Yes. Ati inka naam badalna chahiye, not Bhakti Sangha. Goloka Sangha. Because they're showing what will be in Goloka.
Right.
Morning to midnight. Midnight also, I can't. Please join. So I'm so happy, but I don't know. I should not be desperate. I should not be hopeless. Hope hai. Phir bhi dar bhi hai. Kaise main bhul jau antakale. Because yes, one Jyoti told me that you'll be born in Vrindavan next time. But kyun wapas India mein kyun la raha? I don't want to come. I want to go. Main aapko ek life udhar janam lena padega. I said, this I don't want. I'm crying because I don't want to come anywhere. I want there with Radha and Krishna beach mein. Hum kuch bhi karega. I can make my dog also in Vrindavan, Golokunda, but not anywhere other than that. Unke
samne. Please pray to Prabhupada. Prabhupada ji kar denge aapke.
Prabhupada, I am praying every day, all the Bhakti Sangha and all the devotees, they say, Prabhupada, everyone should go, just like Vasudev Datta told, no, that everyone will go. All of us should go and then Prabhupada will come again to save others. Because I am not capable of coming and preaching. That should be Prabhupada to come back. Sorry, my desire is wrong, but mera dil ki baat bola. Sorry, Prabhupada. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Aapko Chaupati Temple, you're telling about some Anand Prabhu, some you're telling Vrindavan.
I think there is one devotee called as Anand Vrindavan Prabhu.
Oh, inka to chanti ka kitna badhiya lecture. Keep on listening to that. He's a 24/7 chanting. I think when he's walking, talking, chanting, relatives are chanting, I think he will never stop chanting.
Please call him sometime to the Bhakti Sangha. You will know what it means Anand Vrindavan. To be desperate for Krishna.
Yeah, Mataji, please call Shyamagauri Mataji.
Thank you, Sukakara Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Raj Prabhu. Brajmohan Prabhu, aap se mod, very much thankful. My pranam at your lotus feet. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you,
Prabhu. Your eagerness to meet Krishna, your humility, and your dedication to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhu, please keep joining us every day because you are inspiration for all of us, Sukakara Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, will go to the next question. Our very dear and our senior devotee is Prahlad Anand Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prahlad Anand Prabhuji. Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Raj Prabhuji. Good to see you back. We are missing your association. Thank you very much. All right. Today's discussion is centering around Sukha Prabhu is mentioning how we can go back to that. And the whole Rudrasur, episode in Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing at that one very crucial point that you and me, we should not desire service from Lord Krishna. You and me, we are desiring, oh Lord Krishna, take me to home. That muktikam is a witch, all right? So anyone, Sukha Prabhu, you have that desire, remove that, all right? And just desire one thing only, just one thing, sadhu sang. Every devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam has desired sadhu sang. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sadhavar. Mama janmani janmani bhautar bhakti ravdevi. Nobody is desiring liberation from that. But genuine desire to serve Lord Sri Krishna and have the association of the devotees. Bhagavan Krishna has told Narad, yatra tishthami madbhakta. Yatra gayanti madbhakta, tatra tishthami Narad. So, Lord Krishna is all along, he is with us in this Bhakti Sangha. Every morning I enjoy so much because he is there. Right? And why are we desiring to go to there? We should desire here to cure others. Prani arthi dhiya vacha shreyam acharet sada. This is what it is saying. That you and me, we have selfish desire. That is the root of minding us here. Right? And there are three vichis in Bhakti Yoga. Pratistha, love, and puja. Right? These three things, as long as they are in our heart, Bhagavan Krishna is not pleased. Right? So this is what is little realization I have. And that's what I'm striving to do myself. And I'm trying to do that to others so that, you know, we can please Lord Sri Krishna through mission of Sri Prabhupada and His great mercy that we can at least associate every morning. And, you know, since I joined this Bhakti Sangha, I'm waking up every morning at 3:20 a.m. Join at 4:20 a.m. And I feel so blissful about this, like that. So this is what I just little wanted to give some comment about this. Please.
Thank you, Prahlad Prabhu. Thank you, Prahlad Prabhu. From today, I will not desire for going back. I'll just serve as much as possible. And with Bhakti Sangha, morning, evening, night, midnight, early morning, daytime, of full 24 hours. Bhakti Sangha is
only you. You sometimes call me elder brother because I'm almost 70, you are 64. All right. So I'm giving you one
you are,
small.
You are my motorbike, I'm your nanny bike. You are my motorbike. Motorbike
has right to give Asirwad and also rebuke. My elder brother has beaten me so much, right? He has beaten me
to discipline. You can do.
Only thing is, I wish your welfare. And
thank you, Maharaj.
Mukti desire you should convert into seva desire.
Remote. Thank you.
That's it. Don't want to go away. Let me take hundreds of bus. No problem, sir. I'm just going to serve you. And please,
100.
That's
100.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for such an excellent class also. And I really appreciate you know, your time and, you know, your insight in giving so nice examples and all that. Thank you very much. Raj Prabhu, again, thank you very much. I'm so sorry I took a little more time. Thank you.
Keep joining and please keep giving your blessings to all of us, Prabhuji. Please do that. Please keep joining us. Your association is very important. I think Shyamagauri Mataji has something to say. Shyamagauri Mataji, please don't change the name. Bhakti Sangha is good.
yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Drishti Srila Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. So many lessons to learn. Yes, everything happens by the will of the Lord, even though it's like, you know, eating also. Whatever we eat, we eat by the will of the Lord. And whatever happens in many ups and downs in our life, but it's all desire of Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Wonderful class.
So happy to see all of your faces, all devotees, that especially Shyamagauri
Mataji. I love.
She's the captain. She's the captain of 40. Captain Shyamagauri Mataji and vice captain Vinita
Kadamba. He's a silent leader, silent force.
Yes.
I love what Mataji said. But this comes only after chanting this, this realization that whatever is happening, good or bad, comes only after chanting. You know, before chanting, when somebody would do wrong with us, try to take revenge or whatever. But now after chanting, I'm thinking I must have done something wrong with him in my past life. So it's coming back to me.
Yes.
This time Krishna has given me a willing power, right? Should I react? No, I shouldn't react. That's it. That's helping me too much. Thank you, Shyamagauri Mataji. So true. Prabhuji, there is one more question in chat box from our very dear and our very senior devotee, His Grace Ananda Vilas Prabhuji. Prabhuji is saying, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, I don't know, it's easy or no. What is easy to understand, quantum physics or Krishna? It's your subject, Prabhu, so good question for you.
I should say quantum physics.
Haribol. Haribol. Thank you, Prabhu, for answering. So, dear devotees, if anybody has any more questions for Prabhuji, any realizations for Prabhuji, please go ahead. Otherwise, we'll thank the Prabhuji and we'll end the call. 3, 2, 1. Nothing. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you for your time, Prabhuji, and thank you for your services. You came to Bhakti Sangha, Prabhu. Everybody's so happy. Such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. All glories to your class, Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu. Please come back again, Prabhuji, and enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhuji. Dear devotees, let
us pay such a beautiful name also, Braj Mohan.
Braj Mohan. Hari Ol,
such a beautiful name also, Braj Mohan.
Yes.
Currently, Maya Mohan. I have to come to that name.
Dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalapataru bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ji ki jai. Thank you, dear devotees.
Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Go, Randa.